from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to start with chapter 25, verse 28. Verse 28. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And thrown that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needed clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king then replied, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he says to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Did you have a great Thanksgiving? Hope you did. So this morning I'm going to ask you, what are you thankful for? What were you thankful for at Thanksgiving? When I was a little boy, I was always thankful for my mom's fried chicken. She was good at that. Did you celebrate Thanksgiving with family and friends? I hope you were able to. I know some people aren't able to. Circumstances just don't permit that for them. It's always, or it should be something we should be very happy about, to celebrate Thanksgiving with family. Did in your celebration, did you thank Jesus for his blessing? Did you thank God for his blessing? Did he even fit into your celebration? Or did you forget all about him? What happened? I'm going to ask you another question. What superstitions do you carry around with you? Do you have some? Don't step on a crack, I'll break my back. All kinds of silly things out there floating around. How many of you have to check the horoscope every day? Well, I don't believe in that, but I have to check it every day. What do you think? And then the fifth question in your bulletin is, are you in charge of your life? We Americans are taught and told to take responsibility for our lives, be in charge of them. Now, as believers in Christ, you have to surrender your life. You have to give it to the Christ and let Him be in charge of your life. And that's something we struggle with. Times I struggle with that. So I don't want to be a hypocrite and tell you something that, you know, to do something I struggle with. There are times I struggle with that. And since I struggle with that, I know you do too. There are times. Lord, I know how to do this better than you do, so I'm going to do it. And then don't be surprised when things don't turn out too well. As believers in Christ, we are to surrender to Him and let Him be in charge of our life. And He will guide us and He will direct us through it. Today, I'm going to preach about sheep and goats. And to do that, there's a part of a little poem I want to read to you as a kind of way to get started. Some of you may have had to read this poem in high school, or some if you went on someplace else to school. Maybe you read it or parts of it. Picture yourself on a sailing ship out in the Atlantic. And it's cold, and it's getting worse. And you can hear that in the poem. With sloping mast and dipping prow, as who pursued with yell and blow still treads the shadow of the foe, and forward bends his head. The ship drove fast, loud roared the blast, and southward we fled. Going south where it's warmer. Because where they are, it's getting terrible cold. Now there came both mist and snow, and it grew wondrous cold. And ice, mast high, came floating by, as green as emerald. Describing an iceberg. And through the drifts and snowy cliffs did blend a dismal sheen, nor shapes of men, nor beast we ken. The ice was all between. The ice was here, the ice was there. The ice was all around. It cracked and growled and roared and howled like noises in a swound. At length did cross an albatross. Through the fog it came, as if it had been a Christian soul. We hailed it in God's name. Albatross is a bird. It ate the food it ne'er had eat, and round it flew. And ice did split with a thunder fit, and the helmsman steered us through. A good south wind sprung up behind, the albatross did follow. And every day for food or play came the mariner's hallo. In midst or cloud or mast or shroud, it perched for vespers nine, while all the night through, fog smoke white, glimmered the white moonshine. God save thee, ancient mariner, from the fiends that plague thee thus. Why lookest thou so? With my crossbow, I shot the albatross. Anybody know that title of that poem? The Ancient Mariner, yes. The Ancient Mariner. This sailor killed the albatross. Instead of good weather, they had bad weather. It wasn't snow and ice, it was heat. And no wind. And everybody on the ship but him dies. So sailing people come up with the tradition that you don't kill an albatross, because that bird determines the success of your voyage. Who determines the success of your voyage as you walk upon God's earth? You're going to be judged a sheep or a goat. How's Christ going to see you after your life is said and done? One man once said he was thankful for the alarm that goes off in the morning because it means he's alive. I can't say that every morning, but there's a lot of mornings. Yes, I can say that. But you know, there are those mornings you want to sleep in. Are you thankful also for the person behind you who snores during church? Jim McKittrick at Elrod, he'd sit down in his spot in his pew, and by the time Lee Barenshire got up to preach, Jimmy was snoring. His low blood pressure kicked in, and he was where he belonged, in God's house, having a wonderful time sleeping. Jim was a sweetheart to me, and I thank God for having known him. Thanksgiving. I hope you did take time to thank God for the blessings you have had in 2013. And if you didn't, it's never too late to thank Him. Say a word of thanks and prayer to your Almighty God. There was a preacher whose last name was Kopp, and he was a pastor in Pennsylvania. And one day he was following this car, and he saw this old bumper sticker, "Honk if you love Jesus." So he honked his horn, and the driver in the vehicle ahead of him gave him an obscene gesture. Something was not the way it was supposed to be, was it? Something was wrong. I guess part of what I'm saying is, as a Christian, are you the same when you leave here as when you sit in here? Are there some things that you need to work on? More importantly, have the Holy Spirit work on. What do you think? Are you a sheep or are you a goat as you walk upon God's earth? There was a health columnist in New York years ago, and everybody was surprised when they found him dead. He was only 40-some years old. But not only did they find him dead, but this health guy on exercise and losing weight was extremely obese. Nothing like he started out. And so people who used to follow him and his advice didn't follow it anymore. He wasn't credible to them. And that's important to a Christian, to have credibility. This society we live in is disconnected enough, it doesn't need us to be who we aren't. If we're Christian, we need to strive to follow the Christ. God has perfect holiness and God has perfect love, and we're human and we're sinners, but we need to have the perfect advice and love that God gives it to us. We need to be a credible witness for Jesus Christ. In what I read to you this morning, Jesus says He's going to judge you and me on the basis of how we treat the poor. You ever stop to think about that? How do you talk about the poor? More importantly, how do you treat them? Because what He says there is, judgment day, that's what I'm going to base it on. how you treated the less privileged in society. In 1982, the mayor of New York was Ed Koch. And Mayor Koch asked the Manhattan churches to do something at Christmas time. He said, there's going to be 36,000 homeless men and women in the city, and the city can't take care of them. So the churches and the synagogues are going to have to do it. I want you to do it, is what he said. And the churches didn't jump at the idea. One Protestant minister complained, well, the mayor didn't talk to me about this ahead of time. Jewish synagogues said they couldn't heat the buildings for them. Catholic Church was the same way. They did not step forward as they should have and care for those that needed the care that were going to be there. Something to think about. Helping the poor and the needy is still a big deal. And there are a lot of people who complain about it more than they stand up to do it. And a lot of those complaining at times are Christians. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, God guarantees His blessing upon the Hebrew people if they give generously to the poor. If they don't, no blessing. Sounds a lot like what I read to you that Jesus said, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like it. In Amos chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, the Lord tells the Hebrew people that He hates their religious ceremonies and refuses to accept their offerings. Why? Because they were unjust to the poor. Now you pray about that a while, you think about that a while. We have this beautiful sanctuary. All of you beautiful people sitting here, wonderful music. We started the Advent reading. We're going to have the hanging of the greens tonight. But if you read your Bible carefully and you don't take care of the poor, guess what? God says, I'm not even there. And God isn't in those places because why? Mercy and grace and love are not there. And as His people, that is something He wants us to be. A people of mercy, a people of grace and forgiveness, a people of love. And about the time we think we're doing that real great, we kind of look at ourselves again, and maybe we haven't been quite as great as we thought we ought to be, so try again. I want you to keep trying to be and become the person that God Almighty wants you to be. If you haven't made a decision in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do that and start your journey. But if you started your journey, keep after that journey. Don't give up on it. Keep following the Christ and doing what He tells you to do. In Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 4, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the coming Messiah, the Savior, would come to preach good news to the poor. Jesus even says that in one of His sermons, doesn't He? One day, John sent his messengers, John the Baptist sent his messengers to Jesus, and he says, "Are you the one to come? Are you the Messiah, or is somebody else coming? Can we expect somebody else? What does Jesus say to him? He says, you go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is what? Preached to the poor. Praise God. Those were the marks of being a Messiah, the Messiah. And Jesus is the Messiah of Almighty God. Jesus identified with the poor time and time and time again. Do we do that or don't we? You and I say our greatest desire is when we die to meet Jesus Christ. It's what we want. Do we really mean it? Some of you remember a lady, a Catholic sister by the name of Mother Teresa in India. Wonderful Christian lady. There was a writer who wrote the book City Streets, City People. And he, before he wrote that book, his name was Michael Christensen, he went to stay with Mother Teresa for a while in India. How could she endure the suffering she saw every day? Why did she do it? He wanted to know. Well, on that particular day, Mother Teresa rescued an abandoned baby from the gutter on the street. What he also says is that particular little baby, it didn't have any feet and it was missing one hand because the rats had gnawed them off. Mother Teresa did not leave the baby there to die, but took it in, and the child recovered and lived. Praise Almighty God. And as he looked at that horror and remembered it later, he said to her, he didn't see Jesus anywhere. Mother Teresa looked back in Matthew in chapter 25 and said, if you did it for the least of these, Jesus said, you did it for me. And her taking care of the homeless, this little baby, and all kinds of other people, by her doing that, she did it for Jesus Christ. And in the doing of that, she saw the Christ. Who are you going to help this season of the year? How are you going to do that? Something to think about as we rush headlong into Christmas. What are we going to do? We can talk about being a Christian nation. We can put all kinds of slogans on walls, car bumpers. We can put the Ten Commandments different places for people to see them. But do we care for the poor? Do we give offerings to the poor? Do we help feed, house, and clothe them? What do we do? There was an old preacher man by the name of Billy Sunday. One day one guy asked him, what do I have to do to go to hell? Sunday answered, nothing. You want to go to hell? Don't do anything. Do nothing. and you'll end up there. The goats in Jesus' story were those people who saw the needs around them but didn't respond to those needs, did nothing. I was hungry and you said apply for food stamps. And I was homeless and you said there's a shelter in town. I was lonely and you said get a Walkman or something to listen to. I was beaten and you said, don't go into dark alleys. I was naked, and you said, there's a local church down the street that has some clothes. I was sick, and you said, apply for Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, whatever. I was illiterate, and you said, go to the library. I was imprisoned, and you said, contact the parole board. I was depressed, and you gave me a smile button. I was dying, and you said, there is eternal life. You know what's missing in all that? Nobody was involved in it. They were just talking. There is eternal life, and it's in Jesus Christ. And Sunday after Sunday, Pastor Mike offers to talk to you about that if you want to talk to him. I'll make the same offer. If you want to talk about the Christ, I'll sit and talk with you. But if all I say is there's a Savior and just walk away from you, not enough. Not enough. We worship an almighty Father who is protector of widows and orphans. We claim a Savior about who it is said in Corinthians, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus Christ brings us perfect love, perfect mercy, and perfect justice, and with that perfect peace. And he's the only being in all creation who can do that, Jesus of Nazareth. Praise his name. Years ago, an army chaplain was visiting wounded soldiers in a hospital near the front. Chaplain offered to read the Bible to them. And a young soldier said to him, I'm cold. So the chaplain took off his jacket and wrapped it around the young soldier. Then the young soldier said, I'm thirsty. Chaplain took his canteen off his belt and lifted the young man's head up and gave him a drink. Then the chaplain asked again if he could read something from the Bible to him and the other men. And the soldier replied, if there's anything in that Bible that causes you to do what you've done for me, please read it. So he read from the scriptures. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. world is going to judge you as a Christian and me as a Christian by how well we live up to that. And Christ will judge us by how well we lived up to that. My invitation to you is judge yourself first. And what you see that you like, hang on to that. And what you don't like, let the Spirit of Almighty God change that in your life. And may God bless you this Sunday. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the thanksgiving that we have just went through. And I hope it was a blessing. I hope also this morning as we prepare for the invitation that we will look at ourselves. And as we see our sins and our failures and our shortcomings, we will admit them to you and allow your Spirit to change that in us. That when we leave this earth, there'll be no doubt in anyone's mind and in yours that we're sheep following the shepherd, following the Christ. Bless this invitation at this time in Christ's name, I pray, and amen. Amen.